Unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A portion again of that gospel reading from the Bread of Life discourse of our Lord Jesus from John chapter 6. I'll start at verse 53. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." This is God's word. Please be seated. So how is it that things that we all would agree are good and right and salutary can cause so much offense when you get down to the specifics? So just consider that hymn that we just sang, which speaks of knowing your way in life. Now, of course, that's a good thing. Everybody wants to know their way in life, where you're going and how you're getting there. We'd all agree it's a good thing to know, as long as we are speaking abstractly. Because, you see, when we speak abstractly about the way in life, that allows me to fill in the blanks with whatever I think is the way for me. Whether that's devotion to my family or career or wealth or leisure or pleasure or politics or whatever it is, whatever I think is the way for me. But here is the rub. As soon as you fill in the blank for me, as soon as you tell me that Jesus is the way, now you're being offensive. Especially in a thin-skinned culture like ours that seems to be addicted to feeling offended, because feeling offended makes you feel self-righteous and morally superior to those with whom you disagree. And perhaps one of the most offensive things that we can say in our world and culture is that my way, specifically my way, is somehow superior to your way. And that's what makes that hymn that we just sang so offensive to the people of this world. You may have thought it was just a benign hymn, but it's not. That is offensive stuff because it fills in the blanks. It speaks very specifically of Christ and says, "You are the way, and through you alone can we the Father find." Whoa! How dare you tell me that your way is the right way and my way isn't? Or consider the second stanza of that hymn. It talks about truth and wisdom. Again, nobody's against truth and wisdom, speaking abstractly, of course. But in the church, we don't speak abstractly. We fill in the blanks. We speak very specifically. And we sing of Jesus, "You are the truth, and your word alone true wisdom can impart." Now you combine that with our Old Testament reading today that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." These are just about some of the most offensive things you can say in our world. To suggest, much less to say it outright, that you do not have even the beginning of truth and wisdom if you do not first know and fear the Lord. The church is the house that wisdom built, as Proverbs says, from which true wisdom cries out to the world out there and says, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, come, come, eat my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight." Now, how do you think that's going to fly in our postmodern, thin-skinned, relativistic world and culture? To suggest that those who lack this wisdom of God lack good sense, and that this wisdom of God that enlightens us is true wisdom as opposed to the simple, or the AKA the false wisdom of this world. That is hugely offensive. How dare you say that your wisdom, your truth, are better than my wisdom and my truth? How hateful of you and bigoted. Well, yeah, never mind the train wrecks that people make of their own lives as they pursue their wisdom and their truth, all the drama, all the toxic and the dysfunctional relationships, the broken families and the shattered marriages, the addictions, the self-inflicted emotional wounds, the heartbreak, the mangled lives, inability to handle in a healthy way life's sorrows and sadnesses, all the regrets, and all of that in the pursuit of what they think is wisdom. Which is why St. Paul says in our epistle today that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Mostly, his wrath comes upon us because we lack sense, as the proverb says. And yet, they are offended when the church says, you know, maybe your wisdom isn't so wise after all. Maybe your truth isn't so true after all. Maybe you need to come to your senses. Maybe you need to come in here. Please come in here and eat wisdom's bread and drink the wine she has mixed and find the truth, the wisdom that begins with the fear of God and the knowledge of His Holy One and leads to a life walking in the way of insight and of blessedness. But it isn't just the way and the truth that we sang about in that hymn. It's also the light. And once again, who's not for light, right? Everyone wants light, at least in the abstract. The crowds that gathered around Jesus certainly wanted life, which was why they were glad to have all the free bread that Jesus would give them. I think we would all agree with that grandpa whose family threw him a surprise birthday party, and when he stepped into the room, the family shouted, "Happy birthday, Grandpa!" To which Grandpa replied, without even batting an eyelash, said, "Well, I suppose it's better than the alternative." We all want life, speaking abstractly. But Jesus, again, he doesn't speak abstractly, does he? He speaks very specifically and concretely when he says in his Bread of Life discourse, and tells the crowd and the whole world that life can only be found in Him. And that if you don't have Him, you do not have life. "I am the living bread," He says, "that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Well, you know what happened when Jesus said this. The same thing that happens in our day when this gospel is proclaimed in a world that thinks it knows how to gain life. And the people were offended. "Well, this is a hard saying," they said. "Who can listen to it?" Well, yeah, it's hard to listen to. Because for the life, for this world, life revolves around the kind of bread that fills the stomach and keeps the flesh alive for as long as possible, as if that were life. But that's why we get an education, try to find a good job that has a nice paycheck so we can bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan and serve it on the table and fill our bellies. And for what? It all revolves around sustaining the flesh and filling the belly, feeding the appetites of the flesh. The flesh, which the Lord says avails for nothing. That's why St. Paul wrote in the letter to the Philippians, their God is their belly. Because everything is about that. But what our Lord is saying is that if you think that you can gain life by working for bread that does nothing more than feed the flesh, you are not at all wise. Jesus points out that that's the kind of bread that the Israelites ate in the wilderness, and look what happened to them. They all died. And the prophet Isaiah makes a similar point. He says, "Why do you spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good." And then our Lord echoes those words of the prophet. And he says, "My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Well, St. John records for us very sadly that after Jesus said this, many of his disciples turned back and they no longer walked with him. His wisdom was just too offensive for them. But then comes those pointed questions that our Lord asks, and we need to be asked these questions too. Do you take offense at this? Do you want to go away as well? Peter got this one right, didn't he? And so have you, because here you are. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And so this morning we thank God that by the power of wisdom's beckoning, our ears have been opened to heed her cry and to come here into her house where we hear the words of eternal life and where we are served the only bread that is for the life of this world in the flesh of Jesus Christ. You see, here we do not talk about life in the abstract. Life is in Jesus, the very bread of life. He died to give his flesh as real food and to give his blood as real drink, that by partaking of that bread and that wine, you may gain wisdom and true life. To those who are making train wrecks of their lives and who are perishing by insisting on their way, their truth, their life, the cross of Jesus is offensive wisdom. And we beg them, come here. Come here into wisdom's house and eat the bread and drink the wine she has prepared for you. Because for those of us who are being saved, the cross is the power of God to redeem our lives and to restore us to Him forever. From that cross, Jesus feeds us at the altar, His flesh, the bread of life, and gives us to drink His very blood, the libation of salvation. And in answer to the crowd's question, "Well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus says, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Here is the bread of life, not in the abstract, but to be taken upon the lips and upon the tongue, the gifts of Jesus to you in His supper. And whoever feeds on this bread has life in him. You do not wish to go away too, do you? Come in here. Here are the words of eternal life. Here is the Word made flesh for you. Forsake your ways and live. Do not be unwise, but wise. And do not take offense at this, but continue in the way of understanding and in the way of wisdom and of real and eternal life in Jesus Christ. And come often to this house that wisdom has built to enjoy her bread and her wine. Eat and drink and live by the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. You know, you made a great choice today when you heard wisdom's cry to come into her house, and you heeded that cry and you came here. Now, let's enjoy the feast that wisdom has prepared for us. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.